What you're about to watch is new for our YouTube channel. It's an in-person interview with Father Christino Bouvet. Now, 3 years ago, this type of video would have been absolutely impossible for us. But it's only possible now because of you, our financial monthly supporters, and you, our audience who consistently show up and watch our content. So we want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to develop this channel. Thank you for helping us proclaim the beauty of the Catholic faith to a hurting world. We hope you're blessed by this new type of content. Father Christino, this is the first live in-person interview like this. I want to thank you for your time. And as we were setting up the cameras to discuss other topics, you brought to my attention how you thought it's a valuable thing that people actually have a conversation nowadays. Mm-hmm. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think that we are living in a time where it's very easy to hide behind a camera or a screen and let all of our interactions, even though they seem like they're with another person, they're still very one-dimensional. You're either consuming some content through social media, something online, YouTube, or you're putting it out, but you don't even know who you're putting it out to. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's some detriment to that because that's not an authentic human interaction. That's not the kind of exchange that really is only possible when two people sit across from each other, like you and I are doing right now, and just talk. Mm-hmm. You know, you call it an interview, and I guess it's an interview of sorts, but
I guess we're talking.
Exactly. We're having a conversation. And I think that that's what's most meaningful about what you are making available through this new approach to what you and I have been doing for a long time already, yeah. I guess, and having these online conversations. But even again, through the medium of Zoom, something is lost, to say nothing of the technical problems we've had in the past, yeah. where something didn't go the way we had planned. Right now, nothing can interrupt the fact that you and I are just having a conversation.
Except the phone call.
I could get a phone call at any moment. I did warn you about that, and so, but we'll see. Maybe my guardian angel will block the call, and we can just continue to have a good conversation.
Well, as you know, my history has been in-person events, parish missions, youth events, traveling full time. Started in 1999, so my ministry has been like in person, talking to people, looking them into the eye, and then COVID happened, and we shifted to this online thing that we thought would be very temporary, you know, just flatten the curve, mm-hmm. and then we'll go back and then we'll start parish missions again. As everyone knows, it didn't turn out that way, and 2 weeks turned into, for me, 3 years, and by that time, I feel blessed that people started tuning in, our audience grew, and I thought, hey, I can do this at home mm-hmm. and serve people, which is way easier on the family. However, it's a less human experience. Mm-hmm. Because you can't see the person who's watching, let us talk right now. It's less human. However, can you speak to, I don't want to shoot myself in the foot, but do you think it's valuable, nonetheless, to have lay apostolates like myself talking about the spiritual life, or let's even venture down another road, the state of the church? Mm-hmm. Is there a value in that, and is there a danger in this?
Mm-hmm. I obviously think there's a value in it. And the fact that you have the viewership that you do, that you have the supporters that you do, it means that people are accessing something from you that is adding some value to their life, especially if it's helping them in their spiritual life. So I would never want to challenge or question whether or not there was some value to be derived from what you're putting out through your platform. But it, I think, has to just be acknowledged objectively as incomplete or less than what it could be, which you are familiar with through that dynamic of a person-to-person contact, right? The work you began and started in 1999, you called face-to-face, right?
Oh, that's right.
There's something about that name even that means you are encountering a person. And this is a big theme right now in the church. We hear a lot of these buzzwords getting thrown around a lot. And I think sometimes some of the people who have platforms like yours might use their platform to bash all of these words and make fun of the church at different ways for having a preoccupation with this sort of thing. You know, I'm thinking about words like encounter or accompaniment. And we can belittle that or say, oh, yeah, you know, roll our eyes at these things. those are real things. they do matter. We need to be encountered, and we need to encounter another. Recently, we had the gospel from the, now that we're back in ordinary time, the Gospel of John, the call of the first apostles. They had a face-to-face, in-person encounter with Jesus. And I always reflect on the beautiful little line included in John's gospel when the first time they met him, he adds, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That little detail says so much. That in-person, face-to-face encounter changed their lives so profoundly that however many years later that account was being written in what would become the Gospel of John, he remembered the time at which he met Jesus. And so we can never replace and we can never overcome all distances just because we have the social media, technological advances, the things that we do now. We can never replace what it means to come into contact with the other. And all of what you receive from being in their presence and interacting with them in the fullest way that we can as human beings. And so all of that is to say, I've loved having our conversations online and over Zoom or whatever our platforms are. But nothing can beat what we're doing here right now, that we sit across from each other and encounter each other, because that is how we were made.
In the online world, there is certain topics that get an audience quicker than others. So people respond quicker to a topic of crisis rather than just affirming them in that they're loved. Mm-hmm. I've just noticed that, you know, like, and anyone on YouTube knows this. You know, you get the crisis of the moment that's trending, and then there's an audience that is looking for an answer. And part of me is like, I don't want to fall always into dealing with the crisis of the moment. However, people are looking for an answer. And so there's this tension sometimes. What do you speak to? What do you don't? Mm-hmm. And I find it difficult, but I do recognize when there's something that happens. I mean, I don't think it's a secret that the papacy of Pope Francis has been very difficult for many of us. And so it creates opportunities to comment. And so a great example of this is the last document that just came out, Fiducius
Supplicans.
Thank you. Everyone's favorite word right now. So without getting into the content of the document, just the fact that we have all this commentary going on, it just seems that when there's something that comes out, we're living in an internet world, you can read the document yourself and people get confused. And so they look for answers and they can get them right away. But it would be nice if the hierarchy would fill that hole. But I recognize bishops, they're busy. They have other things to do than respond to the latest document instantaneously that has just come out of Rome. So there's this tension. I think people want to know, well, what does this really mean? What did paragraph 31 really mean when it's a couple? So people look. And the first people typically are lay people, and there's a couple priests out there as well. But there isn't, beyond that, a bishop that's quick, you know, like that. I'm not saying that they should. But what is your thought in that? Because people will, for lack of a better word, shop around. They want answers. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. People really want answers, and they're going to look. Mm-hmm. So apostles like mine, do you seek to provide that answer? Or do you just let sometimes the hierarchy eventually speak? Or sometimes the local bishop doesn't ever speak on that issue. Mm-hmm. What are you to do?
I understand what you're asking, and I know the point you're making about people looking for something, especially in the midst of confusion. Whenever people think that they don't understand, or but they know they don't understand, but they don't know why they don't understand something that gives the impression that it should be clear, they want to hear what other people have to say about it. I want to first grab onto the word that you used, an answer. I'm afraid that part of the problem that we live through right now with everyone having, whoever has a camera can sit down and tell the world everything they think about something, is that we conflate our opinions with answers, and we don't give enough space to what it means to, or what is limited by having a response or reaction that doesn't necessarily amount to anything. We can respond or react to something without it corresponding to reality. And so there is a danger. You asked me if I thought there were any dangers. The danger is assuming that because I think it, that's the answer. But that might not be the case. And when you're commenting on something someone else has said, the only person who can really provide the answer to confusion that they have created by what they've said is themselves. That the person, the author of the confusion, has to be able to address that and clarify, or everyone else is only speculating. And that's partly where I think, yes, you're right. I know that people expect our bishops, for example, to say things quickly because we're used to getting automatic and immediate responses to things. It might be that they're busy. It might be that they're cowardly or whatever. People say all sorts of different things about what the holdup is on having a bishop respond. It might also just be that it's not their place to say something. What is there to say? If they don't have the answer, or they don't believe they have the answer, what is added by just throwing their opinion in the ring as well? And that's part of what I'm weary about, or just concerned about in general with everything online and the whole Catholic Twitterverse or whatever it's called, Xverse, and the YouTube world. And everyone with an opinion and everyone with a camera is now somehow weighted equally, except from people who don't like their opinion. And that's where we get into all of our little silos and echo chambers, and you find the person who says the things you like, and now that's what you glob onto. I always encourage people to make sure that they are listening to other opinions than the ones that they like. Because if you are not coming into contact with something other than you already thought, how are you ever going to expand expand your intellect, but even just expand your perspective? And I think that may be what is so challenging for some people who find difficulties inside of the pontificate of Pope Francis and what the last 10 years of life in the church have been like. If they're coming into contact with something that they don't like, they don't agree with, or they don't understand after, let's say, maybe these kinds of people for 35 years never had that experience with the previous two popes, they don't know what to do about that. But maybe what there is to do about that is to just receive it and then evaluate it and try, based on what limited resources you might have, to figure out how does this apply to my life. And lots of times I think we get worked up about things that don't apply to our life anyhow. And so we really invest more energy than it's worth. And those who think that they need to respond or react to everything, or be the first person on the scene with a comment, I'd ask them that question. Are you conflating opinion with answer?
And so you mean the Pope's latest airplane interview might not be exactly relevant to my fathering with seven children?
Well, I think you might have a good point there, Ken. I think I agree with you.
However, I do feel the temptation oftentimes to comment, and I don't most often. But it's a good to remember that just because I hear something that I disagree with, first of all, it might not be relevant to my life at all.
We should be quick to listen and slow to respond. There are many times when I think we will realize there isn't anything of value to come from my deciding to weigh in on this or that topic. But other times, perhaps we feel like we have an obligation to do so. For someone like yourself, there are many people who are turning to you and looking to you for inspiration, for guidance, for encouragement. So it's not wrong for you to want to make sure that you're providing that. You are one among many. And I think the challenge that we face with the whole digital universe is you can't really live out that old adage, know your audience. That's what we're taught in the seminary when it comes to preaching and homiletics. We are preaching to this group of people. Many years ago, not many, at least more than 5 years ago, I ended participation in an apostolate online where every talk I ever gave and every homily I ever preached was posted to a blog, mm-hmm. and it had a lot of readership and a lot of traction and was shared widely. And there were times that I was shocked to discover that hundreds and sometimes thousands of people were listening to my homily. And at some point, I actually became quite concerned about the fact that I couldn't tell sometimes who I was writing my homily for. Was I writing my homily for my parishioners to whom I would be preaching that Sunday? Or did I have Swords of Truth in mind, which is the name of our blog?
Right.
Who was I writing my homily for? I don't know who was watching Swords of Truth. I don't know who was listening to my homilies online. But I know those people that are sitting in front of me. And I had to preach to them because I was sent to them to care for their souls. And so what I thought the world wanted to hear Father Cristino preach about was irrelevant if it's not what these people needed to hear from Father Cristino on that Sunday's readings. Mm. And I was kind of confused about that at the time, about what do I do with this? Am I making something out of nothing, or is there something to be said about this? When we're speaking into the camera and we don't know who's listening, you just don't know your audience, plain and simple. And that's why I think it's important that people who decide they want to listen to someone else's conversation be welcomed in. Here it is. But right now, you're my audience. I'm your audience. We're talking to each other. And if someone else can bear some fruit from out of that conversation, then fantastic. But this is what the authentic human experience is.
So, what stood out to you in this discussion and why? Please comment below. I always love learning from you. And just a heads up, we're going to be having more in-person discussions, just like the one you saw with Father Cristino, but with other guests as well in the future on this YouTube channel. This will be in addition to the style of programming that you've become accustomed to, where Janelle and I show up and share our thoughts on the Catholic spiritual life. That's going to continue, and the in-person discussions will be in addition to that. And if you've been blessed by our videos, would you help us bless others by becoming our monthly financial supporter? Monthly support allows us to continue the work that we're doing. If that's a possibility, please head over to kenandjanelle.com. We'd be very grateful for the consideration.